Hey everyone, how you doing? It's Nellie here. This episode is another special one. It is an extended chat with broadcaster Hilary Harper. Yes, the Hilary Harper who hosts Life Matters on Radio National. Hilary's long-term relationship ended about 18 months or so ago, and she has very wisely spent that time rebuilding. Eventually, she landed back in the dating pool. Yes, she was north of 50 and on the apps, baby. We talk about that and much, much more. Hilary and I talked for almost 2 hours, and honestly, I loved every single minute. She's so thoughtful, very funny. Just had a great conversation. So we're putting out two versions of this chat, a condensed version for free, and our paid subscribers get extended chat. They get the whole chat. They also get it early as a special thank you for being subscribers. So to sign up for $5 a month for that and other perks, see the show notes or go to dearnellypodcast.com. This podcast was recorded in the council area known as Darabin in Melbourne. I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land, the Wurundjeri peoples of the Kulin Nation, and pay my respects to their elders past, present, and emerging. Last but not least, if you're new to the podcast, this is a sex, dating, and relationships podcast for adults. I tell you one thing, if you don't like swearing, oh, it's really going to give you the shits. So off you fuck.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Dear Nellie, I could use some advice, dear Nellie. Yeah, some help would be nice, dear Nellie. I'm eager to hear your point of view. There's a lot to explore, dear Nellie. When you're 40 or more, dear Nellie. So I'm hoping we can talk it through. Dear Nellie, I'm rocking my prime and it's time to get down some. Maybe mess around some. It's never too late.
All right, welcome to Dear Nellie, Sex, Relationships and Dating from the Other Side of 40. We are joined today, is it rude to say veteran Hilary Harper?
Not rude. There are many worse things you could probably say. Old, crumbly,
stop.
No, veteran is lovely. It makes
experienced.
Me feel like I haven't waged a war.
Very experienced. So for those who don't know, and I'm sure all of the Dear Nellie listeners will know, you host Life Matters on Radio National, which is very fancy.
It is fancy, but it's funny because I was raised in community radio, so I still like bend down and pick up the rubber bands that fall on the floor. We might need that one day. You never know at the ABC.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I mean, I say this with love and affection, but you're a bit of rough trade at heart.
How deeply have you researched my past, Nellie? I'm a little worried now. It was funny, actually, because I was listening to your beautiful chat with Jacinta Parsons.
Yeah.
We have quite a parallel career path, but I was remembering going into PBS FM in 1993 with my multiple piercings and my stripy top with the shabby sleeves and going, have you got anything for me to do? And they're like, sure, I want to do the gig guide once a week. I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I did with a friend for a couple of years, and we used the old carts, those like weird little oblong things that had like a strip of tape in them.
Yeah.
We would stick that in a machine and do a live cold read 48 times till we got it right. So fun.
And then run home and watch your VHS recording of Prisoner.
Buffy.
Oh, Buffy, of course.
Yeah.
1993. I was also working in community radio, but in Perth,
Ah, yes.
I had a talkback show called Dear Nelly. No, it was called Dear Thomas, and people could only call in on the Bronte sisters, Hillary. That was it.
That's very niche.
Honest to God, it started as a joke column in the local newspaper. And as the with these things, you just never know. Sometimes something just works. And
Yes.
for some reason it worked. Anyway, how
So
bizarre.
what I must know, what were the questions? Did Charlotte sleep with that guy in Villette, for
That
example?
kind of stuff. Is Emily Bronte a feminist? Is Heathcliff to be pursued or rejected? Is I mean, I'm making these up, but just from memory. Like that kind of, and getting into who is the best Bronte sister and why do we admire them, and do a post-colonial analysis of the Brontes now. Like it was
Oh,
like
I wish I
often,
would have called that.
which is quite interesting, often with the column, maybe a portent for things to come with social media, it would often be young guys at uni, law students who'd be like outrage that I'd suggested some kind of feminist content, and then women on the other side kind of going championing it, and then others question, like it was just a shit show pre-social. Thank God we didn't have Twitter.
Wow.
Yeah.
That makes me think of the introduction to an edition of Jane Eyre once that I
Yeah.
read. It was saying there were lots of social movements, slavery was ending, there was a war,
Yeah.
and a new poetry was
Yeah.
causing massive social upheaval. It's
Yeah.
like, wow, what a time to live in when a new
Yeah.
poetry could make people go crazy. This is a beautiful idea to set a Dear Nelly type show up.
Right.
Yeah.
We think everything's new. It's just being replayed over and over again.
Yep.
Now, for listeners, this is going to be a very special episode because what we're going to do is you are usually on the other side of the microphone. So I don't know how you're feeling, but I
Yes,
can tell you
please.
I'm feeling nervous because I have said to you that at the end of our chat, you can interview me, which I clearly do not normally engage in such reckless behavior. But what we'll do is the extended version will be for Patreon and Acast Plus subscribers, and everyone else gets the freebies. So we'll chat for as long as we can chat, and then you'll get an extended version, basically if you pay.
Cool. Yeah, that's that, you know,
Right?
we live in capitalism. What
We
can we
do. We live with bills. So I would like to start with, can you take me back to little baby Hillary? Let's say you are anywhere between, say, 14 and 20. Were you dating? What was happening? Were you confident?
do? No, I was a book nerd, a very
Yeah.
extreme book nerd. I could talk the leg off a donkey, but I was
Yeah.
actually quite anxious and shy. I didn't have a word for it then, but it was anxiety, I realize now.
Yeah.
So I was very awkward. And there was like one or two other people at school that I got along really well with who were also book nerds and knew long words. And so my nickname in early high school was Posh. Like it wasn't a
Posh.
good thing. Yeah, but not like Posh Spice, just like, can you stop sounding so posh, Hillary? Because I knew how to pronounce things and I liked
Because you were
spelling and
reading.
stuff. Yes. So we actually moved. I moved from a Catholic girls' high school in country Victoria in year nine to a co-ed state school, a very small one. And that was an eye-opener. So it was like, not only were there boys all around me, but some of them were quite interesting as opposed to like horrible, total dead shits
And
in.
your hormones are starting to kick in, and the,
Yeah.
yeah.
So peak awkwardness hits at the time
Yeah.
of boys appearing, so that did not
Yeah.
work well. And there was, I just find it really interesting the kind of outside the city dating experience because it's so different to the city dating
Yeah, it is.
experience,
Yeah.
even in teenage years. The pool is so small.
Yeah.
And so you get into this, like when you combine that with the fairy tales that a lot of female people have grown up with, it's like you're meant to be looking for the one from basically the time of your first period or before. And so you get into this mindset of like, which of this available set of people should I focus my energies on? Not even who do I like or who
No.
likes me or what who might I get along with or who's a decent person. It's like,
Nah.
which of these person is A, tolerable, and B, might notice me. So I didn't really see anyone for quite a long time. And we lived out of town, so you had to get your parents to drive you to see anyone. So I went out with one guy in the sense that we said that we were going out because we asked our friends to ask each other in year nine. But he lived in the town, I lived out of the town, and he went off to the tech anyway. So we saw each other maybe once a month for 3 months, and then that was it.
Star-crossed lovers.
Yeah, I don't think we've made a blip on each other's
Do you
lives.
know what? That's just, it prompted a memory, you talking about that sort of difference between like dating in the country. And I don't know whether this is because I was in rural Western Australia or because of the time, right? Because we think of the era that you and I would have started dating, 1970s, 1980s, 1990s, as post-feminist. And yet at the same time, we still know that those narratives persisted. Like, we had an annual basketball carnival in my town. So people would come from all over Western Australia to play basketball. And I distinctly remember, and obviously I'm paraphrasing, but my mum and my aunties having discussion with me with a version of, well, you might find a husband.
Wow.
Right? And again, this is as a kid. And again, thinking there's no discussion in that about what you would like. How to identify your own feelings, your own interest, your own. Literally, my memory of it was you just need one.
Yep, and it has to be a man. Yeah, and there can only be one. Whole set of assumptions, isn't it?
And you'd know at 14 how to find one.
And which one will it's going to work. Like that's a highly problematic set of assumptions, isn't it?
It's wild, isn't it? But then we turn around at our age. When we go back into the dating pool, which you and I both have, which we'll get to, obviously, and we wonder, I think a lot of us feel silly that we can't identify our own needs. And yet when you look at that and you kind of go, well, that's a lifetime's worth of work that I've had to do to identify those needs.
Yeah, well, because the fairy tale narrative is very much about sitting still in the one spot and waiting for someone to come along who kind of sees you and recognizes you, not about what are my desires. You can't have them anyway. You're meant to be sleeping when they kiss you. But also, so many of us have been raised by, the men and women in our life to squash down our own needs and look to the needs of men. And that was certainly the case in my family, even though, my mum and my dad were both lovely people. Mum's still around, and they loved each other very much, but it was not a balanced relationship, and it wasn't really ultimately a healthy relationship. And they divorced, they broke up when I was about 19. But it was very much like this household is geared around the man's needs, the rest of us women. And I just remember this feeling of having to kind of squash everything down and it just being very relevant. And so when you burst forth into adolescence and then your 20s, and in my case, moved to the city at 18. Oh my God, there's like this smorgasbord of people, and they're not all men, and I don't necessarily need to just see one. What are the boundaries? I've struggled so much.
And this one's got a mohawk, and that one reads poetry. And how do I
Yeah, he's a
navigate
dickhead.
that?
Yeah. And just because they read poetry doesn't mean they're a nice person or a good person, it turns out.
Correct.
Yep, sad, true.
Oh, I've learned that one the very, 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 very hard way on multiple occasions, Hillary.
Oh no, you've got to keep going back and testing it, don't you?
Honestly, because it's so alluring.
It
You
really
know, someone
wants
who's
you
good with
thinking.
words is so bloody alluring. So take me back. It sounds like when you get to uni, and I was the same, I reckon. Once you get to uni and your horizons expand, I was 17, you were 18. I reckon it was probably 19, 20 that I really started to kind of not get good at, but at least feel comfortable dating, right? Is that your experience?
Yeah, I mean, like a lot of people, the word dating is tricky for me because it wasn't really what we called it back then. And it was, I don't know really what, it was just meeting people, hooking up, passion.
Hashing.
Going out. I don't know.
Going out, I think we used to say, do you want to go out with me? Would
That's
be the
right.
most formal declaration, but it would normally be basically it's a passion dash situation.
I was hanging out with a lot of uni friends, and we would just go to the same pubs every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and just do that over and over
And
again.
did you enjoy that? Because that must have been hard for a shy person.
Well, it's interesting because I started drinking quite a bit.
Ah.
There is a bit of an alcoholic streak that runs through my family, and I was like, well, I won't be doing that. I can
Yeah.
clearly see the issues that that has caused, so not
Yeah.
for me. And then sometime in my mid-20s, I was like, gee, when you tally it up, it is actually, I've had been socking back quite a few, and I had to reassess. But I look back now and I think, yeah, that gave me the veneer of confidence
Yeah.
to hit people up. But I don't really talk about this very much because I feel like it's quite a kind of complicated ethical issue. But when I was 18, I started going out with a family friend who was 36,
Wow.
who I had kind of met only tangentially when I was 17 or 18, and he was associated with the family house that I moved into while I was at uni that was in the city.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel at any point that I was not in control.
Yeah.
But looking back now, I can see that the dynamic was pretty strange because he's an 18-year-old who knows nothing apart from lots of Jane Austen quotes,
Yeah.
and how to spell.
Little
And
bookish, nerdy, 18-year-old, romantic,
oh,
from
I
the
used to be
country.
romantic. I used to write love letters to one guy I was seeing who went to work at the snow and never came back. So I was
Yeah.
like literally waiting by the letterbox. That was my
I
girl.
can't tell you how much I get it. And not to, I mean, I know nothing about this man, but I would say if you were looking to exploit a vulnerability, that would be a prime target.
Well, it's interesting because I look at that now and go, that's textbook exploitative relationship. But on the other hand, he had had a quite significant drug use issue in his late teens, early 20s, and he'd lost a decade to that. So he was, in a sense, coming back and trying to retrieve what he had. So that's not healthy, but it kind of balanced things a tiny bit for me.
I understand that.
Yeah.
I
And
think the discussions of power, I mean, they're really complicated, aren't they? Because on the one hand, I mean, I don't think either you or I would be particularly enamored. I'm thinking, like, if that was my daughter, for
absolutely
example,
not.
right? I'd be asking, well, I'd be more than asking questions.
Yeah,
Because
my
there is
dad told me,
clearly.
Dad
Sorry,
said
you
later
go.
he was like white knuckling it through the whole year, basically.
Oof,
It's
I
like,
bet.
but they were 70s parents and they were like, well, let's talk through it, I guess, if you've got to, like, I don't want to talk to you about this at
Yeah.
all.
Leave me alone. There's clearly, that kind of age gap at that age is clearly a power imbalance. But I do agree with you. Power's complicated. It's really complicated by, profession, personality, history, money,
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I came to understand in a kind of inchoate way that I had quite a lot of emotional power in that relationship, which also freaked me out at the time. I was like, yeah, that doesn't feel right
Too
because I don't know
much.
what to do with it. Yeah, I don't.
Yeah.
With great power comes great responsibility, nearly. That's fine,
Indeed.
man. It's
No, it
fine.
does.
Yeah, and I was a bit too, I don't know how to cope. And in the end, I pulled the pin on it, and he was fine about that. But I also think a lot about it in terms of sexuality because that was my first, penetrative sexual experience. I tried before then, but it had not
Yeah.
out. But that was my first fully sexual relationship in the sense that
Yeah.
we went for a while and we explored a few different things.
Yeah.
And I guess, I realize now how lucky I was because he was relatively respectful. He was interested in my pleasure up to a point, and he was a fairly kind lover. And that's not the case for a lot of people who go with older men.
I'm dying to ask up to what point, but I won't.
Yeah, there's a few things I look back on now and I'm like, that's really like of your generation, and I'm manky that you
Look,
said that.
I think it's, look, it is complicated. And I have these discussions with my kids because, I talk about all sorts of things that happen when we were that kind of age and age differences, smoking, drinking, like a whole range of things. Like if they see someone vaping, they think that, they need to be booked into a clinic. It's like that kind of conservatism that comes from the next kind of generation. And you're like, oh my God, we were all stealing fags at 14. Like it is, there is a different, and I'm not saying that's a positive thing, but there you do have to take into account the cultural context. I had a teacher have a relationship with a student at my school.
Oh, wow.
Right. Now, obviously, I'm not for a second defending that, but I will say the age gap was small. It was a different time. And at the time, I remember a few people kind of going, bit odd, but certainly there was no outrage.
Wow. Okay. Bit
And
odd.
so, looking back on that with our lens, as we should do, is I think is fair, but we've also got to take into account context.
Yeah, that's interesting too, because I'm still coming to understand the impact on my love life and my sexual life of being raised Catholic, like quite
Yes.
strongly Catholic. And so I'm
Yes.
thinking if a situation like that happened at my school, it would not have been like, that's a problem because it's a power imbalance. That young woman is at risk. It was like, that's shameful for everybody
Yes.
involved,
Yes.
and no one should be having sex
No
outside.
one should be having sex. And I tell you what, and this is an extended conversation that you and I can have one day. I think part of the trickiness with this particular situation, which I'm trying not to go into too much detail about, was the teacher was female and
Right.
the student was male. And I wonder if it would have been read differently. I actually not sure that it would have at that time, to be honest. But regardless, I think the point is going back to your relationship. What I'm interested in is how you see it now, rather than how anyone else is reading it.
I look back and I don't regret it. I got to
Yeah.
know so much. He was really interesting to talk to and
Yeah.
knew very little about politics. And
Yeah.
I look back now and think I was really lucky to meet someone who was prepared to explain kindly,
Yeah.
and not smugly about how things worked.
Yeah.
And I was exposed to some fantastic music and things like that. I think looking back now, I wish I'd ended it earlier because but my entire first year of uni was spent focused on this guy instead of learning about guys my own age. But then, guys my own age in 1989, not always that great anyway. So who's to say? I
And I
will
think it's
say,
fascinating, Hillary, that idea of being having your first sexual experience with, I mean, even just take the age out of it, just having your first sexual experience with someone respectful, patient, who's at least on some level interested in your pleasure, is certainly not an experience of a lot of people of any gender.
yeah,
You know, it's kind of get it over with or under, drunk circumstances or less than ideal. You know, again, if we want to talk about power, it's on balance, it sounds okay.
yes. On balance, it was, though I will say that at the end of the relationship, we had a few kind of, goodbye shags. And at one point, one of those was suggested, and I was like, nah, I don't think so. I think we're done now. And as a quote unquote funny joke, he pretended to mount his car up on the curb and rev the engine and pretend he was going to run me over. I was like, okay, I
Okay, no.
my choice to end
Yeah.
now. And yeah,
No.
that was like, okay, I can see how there are elements of that relationship that, because
Yeah.
he was in effect still an adolescent, even though he
Yes.
had the power and
Yes.
privilege of an older man. And that
Yes.
I understood then that that's quite a dangerous situation for me to be in.
Oh, that's such a dangerous combination to be suspended emotionally in adolescence, but have the experience and knowledge and power of a 30-something year old with an 18-year-old. Yeah, it's not an ideal combination. Did we move on to greener pastures, Hillary?
Yes, we went out with a lovely man for, I don't know, a bit over a year. He was
Yep.
a sweetie. Our courtship was hilarious. He was a good mate from uni, and we got chatting about farm machinery because he lived on a farm at the time. And
Column, com what are they called? Combine harvesters.
there is such a thing, I understand. Yes,
Yep.
I grew up in the country, but not on a farm, so I'm a
Yeah.
bit really ignorant about that stuff.
Yeah.
But I like machinery, and I used to like tinkering, and I used to service my own bike and stuff at that point.
Yeah.
So it was pretty handy with a toolkit. And he started mailing me the component parts of a piston engine.
Oh, that's heaven.
It was really fun, and I got to do this jigsaw puzzle and put together a piston so that when he came back to town, we could talk about it together. And that was actually really, really lovely.
You
And
know
we met
what?
an intellectual level as well.
That is so sweet. That just reminded me. I don't know if you've listened to Celia Pasquale's episode, but when she started seeing her now partner, who, is the father of her children, they met online. They couldn't see each other because of COVID restrictions, and he would mail her a shopping list. and go buy these ingredients. We'll get on the Zoom, we'll both cook the meal at the same time. And I thought, because there's a lot of people, a lot more people now who are doing long distance, whether it's, city, country, or even interstate, and hearing those kinds of things, I think it's sweet. Like you can actually build a connection without being physically in the same space all the time.
Yeah, totally. Well, that's what I loved about the, abortive love letter experience
Yeah.
mid-teens. It was so sweet to be able to get a window into someone's mind, which, was quite hard in our teens, I found.
Yeah.
And my latest relationship, when we first started seeing each other, we had two quick dates
Yeah.
and we were, quite keen. And then he went away for 10 days. So there was this storm of furious texting. One
Yeah.
night I went out to a wedding and I had to take the courtesy bus home and it took 2 hours, which
Oh.
between midnight and 2 a.m., there was this storm of texting while he watched the soccer in the UK.
So you've got like RSI texting. This is what, if we're texting, we're in the 2000s, we
Uh, this
early
this is
2000s.
this is very recent, this one. But yeah, should we go through the rest of
Oh,
the
yes,
timeline?
please.
Okay.
Yes.
So there was lovely guy, piston component part
Yeah.
guy. We're still good mates. We broke up when I went overseas
Yeah.
for the lucky Australian gap year
Yeah.
experience. I basically shagged my way around Europe, which was very liberating at the
How
time.
fun.
Well, because I was away from lots of people that I knew. I was away
Yeah.
from my family. I could forge a new identity. I could
Yes.
wear whatever clothes I wanted to. And I didn't feel so Catholic anymore. I was
I
scared
was just
all
gonna
that.
say, Hillary, surely that's the key, because I've interviewed a few people who, same detail or different details, same story, particularly when they're trying to come out. Right. And they kind of go, I can't do it, can't do it, even consciously, unconsciously, go overseas. Of course, I can do it, can be whatever I want, and that could be shedding religious shame. It could be shedding other kinds of shame. So you arrive and do whatever you want to do.
And I loved it, loved it, loved it for the first 3 to 6 months.
Yeah, it can get old.
After that, I realized I was quite lonely and I missed home and I wanted something a little bit deeper because I am still a very tragic romantic at heart. But on that exploring other identities thing, when I came back, I moved into a shared house. And so I was like 22, 23.
Yeah.
It was, or I think, 5 bedrooms and they were all women.
Yeah.
And it was a very richly sexual house. There was lots of
Yeah.
experimenting going on. And one night we had a kissing party, which was interesting
Oh.
and sensual, but
Yeah.
it was actually really lovely. And the last vestiges of my Catholicism fled the house on that night because it
Yeah.
was, look, anyone who comes in, you can ask to kiss anyone you want, and
Yeah.
it's tongues by negotiation.
Yeah.
You are free to do this in this house if you want. And a lot of people took up that offer.
That sounds fun.
And I pashed one of my best friends. And so she and I pashed every party for months and months and months and eventually slept together. It was really interesting when we did this dating series. And when I got on the apps after my marriage broke up
Yeah.
recently, because I still could not get myself over the line to go, I am looking for people other than men. Like,
Yeah,
maybe it's
right.
just where I am,
Yeah.
but I've been there and it was lovely.
Yeah.
But at the time, it felt like a bit of a different way to be conducting relationships than I
Yeah.
have been having with men,
Yeah.
much more communicative, more intimate, and therefore more terrifying. So I
More
just
terror.
thought
Yeah.
about
Oh, this is so
decades.
fascinating. So the series you're referring to is just brilliant. It is your new podcast. It's called Dated. You can find it on the ABC Listen app and via Radio National. Took a little bit of searching. I found it through Radio National. Oh, Hillary, I love it so much. I
Thank
love it so
you.
much. Like, it's so beautiful and vulnerable. We'll come back to that. I find that very interesting. So, I mean, there's a couple of possibilities, right? Maybe you're just straight.
That
Like,
could be a thing,
maybe,
I guess.
like, it's okay. You're not the first woman on earth to have, experimented with same-sex attraction and then gone, that's not for me. Or maybe you do, which I find fascinating and I've seen multiple times, Do you perceive that relationships with women are more scary because they're more emotionally complex, shall we say?
Yes, well, when I started dating after my marriage, I was forced to think quite carefully about my friendships too, because
Mm.
I have very rich, numerous, complex, layered friendships and have managed to
Mm.
sustain them in really healthy ways for decades.
Mm.
But that felt like I was doing them differently than
Mm.
relationships with men, intimate relationships with men.
Yeah.
So it has made me kind of look back and reconsider. And I will say, Nellie, I have a very rich and varied fantasy life, but that is
Yeah.
all in my head. So who knows where things will lead eventually.
Who knows? I mean, I always look, you know my story. I'm always like, I don't care what your label is. I really don't. Like, just keep your options open. It's also perfectly okay to rule options out if you know. You know, it's like, I think there can be too much pressure, I think, on people to be open to everything, whether that is same-sex attraction, whether it's open relationships, ethical non-monogamy, all that kind of stuff. I think all those things should be considered. We're old enough and we're grown up enough to not freak out at that stuff and actually hopefully have done some unlearning of shame that was unnecessary. But if you do that work and then you land on that's just not for me, well, fine. You
Well, that's
know?
where I came to with polyamory too, because having dabbled in, we used to call them open relationships, just that in the 90s, really badly. Like I did them really badly, and my partners and I failed to talk about things and failed to set boundaries and failed to honor each other's emotions, and I, basically left a trail of heartbreak behind myself because I had got bored in this relationship and I wanted to try other things, and so I went and slept with him and he was sad. So yeah, it's really wonderful to me to see when I started having conversations with people and going on dates that how much those conversations have evolved now, and people can actually set limits that suit them and have
Yes.
it be okay.
I love it. This is why I'm always, I mean, I understand that a lot of people have terrible dating experiences on the apps and so on. I get it. But for me, what I loved, having had that sort of 20 years out of that scene, the same as you, I think, so comparable amount of time, and then coming back into it, I'm like, I love the openness with which people own who they are and what they want. I mean, side note, and I'd love to know your view on this. The problem with that is people knowing themselves, right? Because it's one thing to kind of, oh, what I want is a casual hookup, and then you have a casual hookup, and they go, "I love you," you know, or vice versa, right? It's that stuff's tricky. You got to really know yourself. But I do love that at least those discussions are happening.
No, I found it really interesting because I had a conversation with a friend very early on in the piece post-marriage where they were like, "So what are you hoping to have on the apps? What do you want out of them?" And I was like, "Be pretty happy with just having some chats with people, meeting some new people. It'd be great." And they were like, "Really?" With the eyebrow of disbelief. I was like, "No, I want someone to bring me soup when I'm sick and be with me when I die."
And know thyself, right?
But that's
Know
really
thyself.
hard because,
It
like, again,
is.
you're looking at what you've inherited about what you think you should want from relationships, and also you often, you're comparing what happened in past relationships and kind of going, "Well, I don't want that," but that's not a great way to go into a new relationship, is it?
Well, I think what's really interesting about that, and I loved this in your podcast, Dated, but also in you know, discussions I've heard you have about it as well, is that defining yourself against something. So defining yourself against Catholicism or your last relationship or what your parents did, you're still being defined in relation to that. So that's actually not like an open, free choice. The trick, I think, and often I see when people get newly divorced, and I did the same thing, that's what you're doing. I know what I don't want. And then hopefully you come through a period, however you do it, where you start to really understand what you do want.
I
Very
went.
different things.
I remember thinking to myself as I was preparing to start matching with people, they're going to have to fucking prove to me that they're worth my time. And it's like, well, maybe that's not really the best attitude to be going in with, that they have to like be super fantastic before I even give them the time of day. Maybe I need to step back for a minute.
Or I think for me, I would go into it going, I mean, still kindly, still warm, hopefully ethical, all the things that I try and be, and I'm sure you try and be, but very arm's length.
Yeah.
Very arm's length. It's like I cannot bear. And, you know, to be honest, I think that was actually good for me because I didn't want to jump straight into another, shall we say, immersive experience. You know, like you need to find your autonomy and who am I on my own and rattle around and be lonely.
Well, and I've heard you talk so many times about the overwhelming joy of having your own bed and the kind of
Yes.
luxuriating in your own space.
Right.
And I'm lucky enough to have my own like house space. We've got a very small house size space for
Yeah.
me and the kids, and I share with my ex who lives quite close by. It's really handy.
Yeah.
But that feeling of walking through your own front door and going, this is
Yes.
my space, and I can have an ice cream if I feel like it, and I
Yeah.
can lie on the couch in my underwear or do yoga in the living room, like I
Have
whatever.
music up loud, read if I,
Yeah.
whatever it is that you want to do. Let me pick up on something. Are you doing nesting? Do your kids stay in the same house?
No, we did do that for a year.
Can you
Immediately
explain
after
to people
we
what that means? Because it's a really different model.
We called it bird nesting. I can't remember where I picked the term up from, but so we were living in a rental when we broke up,
Yeah.
and fortuitously a friend of ours had just bought a townhouse nearby, so and she had a spare room, and she was a
Yeah.
mutual friend, very
Yeah.
long-term friend. So the kids stayed in the rental and we swapped in and out for half the week
Yeah.
each. So we actually shared the same bedroom in the townhouse, but you know, three or
And
four
how
days.
was that?
It had excellent points and really crappy points. Like it was great for the kids because they had this transitional period where they didn't have to move. And it was lovely actually because this is such a beautiful friend, Mel, and she appears in the dated podcast as well. She's just a rock, and she tread this beautiful line where she was like, I'm here for both of you. We're not going to badmouth each other, but I'm here to listen and you can vent and stuff. So I got to hang out with her. I got to be in a shared house again, which was lovely, but one that was clean.
Yes, yes.
And I got
Well,
my own
different thing in
space.
our age. Yeah.
Yes. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, a little bit of your own space and a little bit of space with just you and the kids. Really nice. The downside was that after a while, we started to feel like we were traveling between youth hostels twice a
Yeah.
week. You know, you can't settle. It's their space as well as your space, which when you're trying to disengage from people is weird. And yeah, it's just very kind of, I don't know, it's very unsettling. Your identity can't settle.
I was
So
just gonna
yeah.
say, like, even and we sort of joke about it, but there's something very, very real and deep about the bed, right? Even sharing the same bed, even if you're not in that bed together, there's something about that emotionally that I would find really hard. And I hear so many people, again, of all genders, who when they break up, buy new linen, buy a new mattress, buy a new whatever, do something in their room. And it's not as trivial and superficial as it sounds. I think it's about new beginnings, starting again, healing, all that. And that would be really hard in that situation you just described.
It was. I mean, we would usually change the sheets for each other, which was nice. I thought that we could
Yeah.
show that care for each other still, because it was a very difficult breakup. There was a lot of heartache, and communication has been difficult throughout. But yeah, that just think the visual landscape is important. And when you're looking around at a house that you both used to live in with all your stuff still in it, you haven't moved forward.
No.
So yeah, I mean,
No.
I was actually stockpiling linen that whole year,
Yeah, I bet.
like getting stuff off the hard rubbish Facebook pages and Facebook
Yeah.
marketplace. It's like, I'm getting my towels this week. I can't
Yes.
wait to set up a new place and just have it be visually different. But you know, I looking back, I think that was really the best thing for the kids because it was quite a sudden breakup, and they and the cat died. The cat died like 3 months after we
Oh,
broke
of
up.
course.
Yeah, thanks, Brian.
Yeah.
poor old Brian.
Yeah.
But you know, it was a lot of shocks for them.
Yeah, and a lot of change. I can absolutely see that. We did a similar thing. Well, not quite similar, but it's sort of my ex moved around the corner, right? So that we could literally kind of walk between houses, and that's no longer the case. But I think as as a kind of interim period, that was quite good for the kids as well. You have to be able to have some kind of amicable relationship with your ex to be able to do that. I'm just conscious of people listening. Not everyone can do that, and nor should they even aspire to do it. But if you can, and there's a time limit, I think is the critical part there. Like to do that for years on end, you're not moving on. But to do it for, say, 6 to 12 months, okay.
Well, and obviously there's got to be, it's such a big financial issue breaking up,
Oh,
and trying to
huge.
find, enough money to have a separate
Yeah.
spouse is quite a process for
Yeah.
people. But fascinatingly, I spoke to someone a year or so ago when it was all still very raw for me, and she had realized that she wanted to explore other relationships, but also was queer. She'd been bisexual, and she realized that she just wanted to focus on women. So she
Yeah.
was married to a man, and he also wanted to explore other things. And what they decided they were going to do was stay in the one house with their
Yeah.
two tween or teen kids
Yeah.
and explore those options in that house. And I remember thinking, sucks air through teeth. That's going to be challenging.
Yeah.
And I touched base with her recently, and she's like, yeah, I'm seeing someone who lives in the country, so I'm there half the time, and I'm actually renting a bedroom across the road in a friend's house so that I could have that space. I was like, that sounds a bit more sustainable. I think they're
Yes.
building a bungalow in the backyard
Yeah.
to have, the extra space. And good on them for being so
Honestly,
respectful
Hillary,
to each other.
totally. I'm always torn because on the one hand, I'm like this, and I've got a few friends in this, similar situation of unconventional housing configurations after, particularly after the end of relationships. And part of me kind of goes, this is amazing. Like you're adapting, you're ripping up the script, you're doing like fuck the conventions. And then there's always just that little tingly, like part of me kind of going, are you holding on? Like you really have to have a good, deep, deep, deep look at yourself to kind of go, are you actually unconsciously just not letting go? Because you're just prolonging your pain, I think, if
Yeah,
that's
though
that case.
sometimes it's tricky, I reckon, to disentangle when you're holding on to the person
Yes, and the
with
idea.
you. Well, and but when you're attached to the idea of the family, because it's
Yes,
really hard to break up a family, and you
it
feel so
is.
much guilt and shame and sadness about what you're doing to the kids. But sometimes I think people are like, how can I hold on to the family whilst still dissolving this partnership and seeking new ones? And that's a really
And that's the ideal, right? Like that's what we're still trying to do that, to varying degrees of success. Let me ask you, so you have parents who got divorced when you were 18, because I find your, if I, I'm, forgive me for Dr. Filling you, darling Hillary, but I find that language of you did that to the kids interesting, right? Do you think that, is that how you feel, do you, about your parents, that they did that to you, or do you give them more grace?
No, God, I was like, Mum, why didn't you leave him earlier? He's lovely. He was a lovely man, but just so messy and very, very boundaryless when it came to his love life. And very, very complicated by past life experiences and stuff. I look back now with much more forgiveness, but at the time I was like, oh my God, man, you leave a trail of wreckage behind you and broken hearts, and that's not fair.
So
So,
50 something year old Hillary looks at mum choosing divorce when you were 18 and goes, well done, you did that, you needed to do this. But 50-something year old mum Hillary goes,
Oh,
what'd you do to your kids?
you are Dr. Phil. Oh my God. Well, it's fascinating too, because Mum blossomed after that. Like, she started writing, and she writes plays and stories. She wins awards. She's got a petanque club. She's got an essay club. She's having her best life now.
Good.
And she continued to have a love life, which was great.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's much more recent for me.
Yes.
But I think something too about when you look back at your parents' relationship and you think, well, I'm going to not do that. I'm going to be better. I'm going to fix it somehow. There's still so much shame and sense of failure associated with ending a relationship. Like, this relationship, in quotes, has not worked, when actually it might well have worked, but it stopped working now.
And I think it's, I just think it's, it's an invitation for listeners. Because so many of our questions are around how do you know when to leave? Should you leave? What about the kids?
Yep.
I think it's just interesting to consider the language, not that you, all of us use around that kind of stuff, because I would suggest that staying in a relationship that isn't working anymore is is much worse for children than actually doing what your mum did. And she has modeled to you when something stops working, you end it as gracefully and respectfully and kindly as you can. And you fucking fly, Hillary. Off you go.
Yes, though she did wait until two of us had finished high school. I think she
Yeah.
waited, she squashed down her own needs and waited too long. I did exactly.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The same thing. And I mean, you will understand this, Nellie, but because we have quite a lot of neurodiversity in the family, you think twice, you think 17 times before you add to the burdens that your kids are
Course you do.
bearing, and you worry a lot about how you're going to manage this for the least possible upset for them.
Let me tell you from a bit further down the road. Normally, I'm very conscious of privacy of the kids, and I know you are with yours, but I don't think she'd mind me telling you. One of my kids said to me the other day, just out of the blue, like, I'm actually really glad you and Dad don't live together anymore. Everyone's so much happier.
Wow.
And
Fantastic.
this was not prompted. You
Yeah,
know,
because
I
we prompt
think
our
it's,
kids to do that.
yeah, they're not silly. You know what I mean? Like, they knew at least toward the end. Like, they knew that it wasn't working. I'm sure your kids did on some level, even on a nervous system kind of level, even if it's not a conscious thought.
Yeah.
And once they've had time to adjust, like, they will talk about, like, my ex lives in the inner city, I live in the burbs. So, like, oh, we've got an inner city apartment, and we're lucky that we can afford to do that. Like, there's people who still have to live together for years and all that sort of stuff. But I think let's just not jump to the idea that it's bad for them.
Oh, totally. I
You
think
know?
in the long term, yes, best for everyone. It's just, it's such a bin fire in the
I
first weeks
know.
and months, isn't it? And you see wreckage
And you
everywhere.
don't even know what scripts you have to rip up. You're like,
Yeah.
where the hell did that come from? I don't even believe that, and I'm grieving it.
Yeah. Oh, so much grief. Far
So
out.
much grief and so much shame. And can I move us forward though? Because I know you now. I live in La Vida Loca. And I want people, again, who are listening, because there's some people who are sitting right in that shit of the first year or thinking about making a really big, hard decision, all that kind of stuff. I'm sure you must have thought, I know you did from your podcast, I'm never doing this again. You know, it's all too hard. I'm on some level broken. Turns out you're doing all right, Hillary. Tell me, tell me.
Okay, so yes, for the first 18 months, I was like, oh my God, it's so good having my bed to myself, except for when the children come in
Yeah.
and I just want to bake cakes and read books
Yeah.
and,
Heal.
yeah, tend my garden and tend to the kids and, yeah, just let things settle. It was like a giant dust storm or something. And I just felt like I'd been plodding through this. This tornado for months, and I just wanted things to finally settle down so I could sweep it up and see where I was at.
Yeah.
But after 18 months, I was like, a bit boring being by myself in the night half the week at least. And I mean, yes, my life is very busy, and I probably only have a Thursday once a fortnight where I could hang out with someone. But I wouldn't mind having a
Yeah.
conversation that's
Do you know
not.
what's great about this age? You're probably also meeting people who've only got a Thursday every fortnight,
Is
right? Because you're not 20 anymore. Like, we haven't got unlimited time and a lot of people have got kids, busy jobs, whatever they've got friendship groups.
a match?
So
Yeah. No.
it's
And the
not
funny
necessarily
thing,
barrier.
No, and the exciting thing too is that you do know yourself a bit better. And
Yes.
also, you're not going, who is going to be a stable prospect with who's
No.
going to raise children? You're like, who is
No.
going to have some fun with me?
I am the stable prospect.
Yeah, I'm fine. I have set myself up and
Yep.
everything is fine and nothing is going to change that. And this
Yeah.
is a safe space for my kids and it always will be.
Yeah.
But also, what can I add to that that's fun for me?
Yeah.
It was that real, that blossoming started to happen, Nellie. It was
Yeah.
like, okay, what are my needs?
Yes.
I do need to actually have sex every so often. Like there was a
Yes.
period where my mum had sex more than me in a 2-year period. I was like, okay, good on you. That's
That would have
great.
been confronting.
That was quite confronting.
I'm not going to ask you to reveal this about yourself, but I will say that a thing that I have noticed with so many conversations with girlfriends, and I bet you've had these conversations, they'd been in long-term relationships where they've honestly come to the conclusion, I don't even need sex anymore. I'm not even that interested. I think that part of my life's gone. You know, I'm dead from the waist down, like all the jokes that we make. Then they become single. And there's some point, for some it's like a month after, for some it's 2 years after, whatever it is, and they are like horn bags. Have you noticed this?
I well, speaking for my friends, no, look, actually, sex was a really relatively regular and satisfying part of my marriage, so I can't complain there. But
Yeah.
perimenopause was a trail of destruction that
Yeah.
wrought some havoc there.
Yeah.
And then after we broke up, in that 2 years between breaking up and starting to date again, I started taking some hormones for the menopause, and
Yeah.
that certainly made a difference. I noticed just
Yes.
in my solitude, it was quite exciting to think
Yeah.
about sex things. That was fun. And yeah, like I found when I started dating, it was so hilarious actually, because for the first 18 months, I was like, I feel nothing. My body is dead. I don't
Yep.
know about people and bodies, nothing,
It's
nothing.
all shut down.
Yeah. And then the guy
Yep.
came around to put my insulation in the roof
Yeah.
and was like, wow. He's standing rather close to me, and
Yeah.
what is the thing that I'm feeling? Oh, the body's
There's some
two
heat.
emotions. Great, yeah. Oh, there's a little pulse going off there. Great,
Isn't that, but how delightful is that?
so
Like,
good.
I remember the first time someone flirted with me after, you know, once I went back into the dating pool. And the, well, shall we say the spaces were activated, Hillary? You know, and it surprised me. Like, I had been when I was younger quite flirty. I love people. I'm gregarious, all of that kind of stuff. And I thought I'd kind of aged out of that, if I'm honest. And then I went, oh God, bitch is back.
How fun is it to flirt with someone? Oh.
So fun. Don't get me started on pashing, but anyway, that'll be a whole
Oh.
other thing.
Oh
So
my
that
God.
came, did you, how'd you feel going on the apps?
It was terrifying,
Yeah.
actually. I found that because I'm right in that space. Yes, I do want sex. I need
Yeah.
pleasure. I really love physical affection. I
Yeah,
need
me too.
that like
Yeah.
nothing else. And I want to have conversations and I want to
Yeah.
have flirting and fun and silliness and maybe some book nerdy stuff. I had quite
Can
a
I
list.
tell you what's underrated, Hillary? And tell me if you agree. A good passion, a dry hump.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my
Right?
God. It's very exciting having your clothes on.
Doesn't have to be 0 to 100. And I mean, like, I'm joking, but I also mean it seriously. For people listening going back into dating, especially if they've been out of it and they haven't had sex with another person for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, the idea of being completely intimate, whatever that means to you, might be too much.
Yeah, and
It's all right to
nakedness.
go, just have a little passion, a grope.
Yes, yeah. I like to space things out, frankly, and
Yeah, right.
make us wait a little bit. But
Yeah.
because when people listen to the, if they, people listen to the podcast, they will hear there's an episode about bodies and sexuality. And you and I have talked offline about this in the past, but we had a lot of pregnancy losses. We had 4 miscarriages and a lot of IVF, like it took 10 years.
Yeah.
And we had 2 losses mid-pregnancy. So I don't think they're technically defined as stillbirth. They're called premature labor, but one of them was at like 20 weeks and 1 day. So
A lot of
technically that's a
trauma.
stillbirth. Yeah. So just looking at my body was like, it was very hard to get past the sense of failure and loss and sadness and grief and betrayal. Like you
Yeah.
look at your body and you just think, why have you done this thing? You haven't kept my babies safe.
Yes.
And you've got to somehow come back to a place of going, well, You're all right, body. You get me around, you do great things, you're a place of pleasure.
Yep.
And then also get to a place where you're not talking to your body in the third person,
Yeah.
like actually inhabiting your body. And
You
that's.
know what, Hillary? I will confess to you something I've never confessed on the podcast, which is I remember looking down the exactly the same thing, just looking at my naked body and just kind of going, oh, this is a battleground. Like actually framing it like that from miscarriage, from some experiences, from changes, from menopause, from puberty, like all the things, whatever, all the things that all of us experience. But you can start to chip away at that. Because now I definitely feel like, even though my body in conventional terms is the quote unquote least attractive it's been, to me it's not at all. And it is exactly what you said. It is what gave me two children for a start. How grateful can I be for that? But also it gives me immense pleasure, and I love food, and I love sex, and I love affection, and I love contact. All those things, it does all those things for me. It's beautiful.
Well, and it's pretty cool if you do decide that you want to get physically intimate with someone to understand that your body can give them pleasure too.
Yes.
Like I took that for granted in my 20s and 30s. Now it's like, I will never take that for granted again. I am making someone very, very happy. You
Now
know.
tell me, as a woman of whatever identity, out in the wild with straight men, there's so much heteropessimism. My experience of straight men, both as lovers but also as friends, is that they are fucking thrilled to have access to your body. Right? Like, so all of the, oh my God, my boobs are hanging here and my ass is there and da da da. In my experience, that's not going through their mind.
No, they're just
Right.
going,
So
oops,
can you
ask.
talk to me about it?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm very lucky. I have excellent male friends. I mean, I am not sure about their feelings about having sex, but I imagine that they're very, very happy when it does happen. Most of them are partnered. And yeah, on my apps, it was interesting because I didn't get physically intimate with very many people, I would say. I feel a bit like a fraud because I've done this whole series on dating in your 50s and I've dated five guys. Like, that was it.
No, I love this because I think, like, even I reckon, honestly, people have the opposite impression of me because I did like make it a job for a while in that I, much like you, actually, I had Friday nights only. I had one night a week. So there'd be times when I first got on the apps, I would do two or three dates in a night. So I think that creates the impression that there's like this, like, cast of lovers. Most of those dates were catching up and having a drink and seeing each other once, you know, or a coffee or a dinner or something. That's still dating. You don't have to have sex to be dating.
Well, and I found that yes, most of the guys that I saw were lovely and quite interested in taking things further.
Yeah, you're a hottie. Look at you.
Oh, thanks. I mean, I was like, I don't know, maybe they're desperate, but they were
Hillary, take that
attracted to me
back.
too. But it was lovely, actually. It was a lovely confidence booster. Because I
Isn't
mean,
it affirming?
my husband always made me feel like he was attracted to me. There's something about closing off that for all other people. Consciously, I had to consciously close it off when I was 32. And when I came out at like 51, I was like, oh, am I still attracted to 32-year-olds? That's a bit weird. It's not weird, but it's not me anyway. But yeah, it was lovely actually. I had one quite problematic date and one slightly weird date and two very, very lovely dates before I met date number five, who we may get to. But the two lovely dates, one of them asked me very shyly and very wonderfully at the end of the date if he could kiss me. And it
Oh,
was like,
that's sweet.
wow, consent conversations have changed a lot
Yeah,
since
love that.
2001. I love it. No, thank you. That's a really lovely offer, but no. And the other guy, I got the strong impression that we could have continued, but when I rang him saying I've met someone, he was like, "Oh, funny, me too." So that worked out.
Oh, great. Very grown up. And I would invite the audience to really sit in those of you who are kind of going like, am I good enough? Am I too old? Am I da da da? Like, you are a good looking woman, Hillary Harper. You're very accomplished. You're very well read. You've got an amazing job. You know, all of these things, and you have doubt. So for the listener, just kind of maybe you'll take some comfort in that. I think some doubt is natural, but sit with the doubt and kind of go, where's that shit coming from? because it's clearly not reality. None of those guys are sitting there going, "You're a bit old, Hillary."
No, but on the other hand, I was quite careful to set my age range like 5 years before my own age and 5 years after.
Either side,
Before I
yeah.
did that, I was getting hit up by these 25-year-olds at 2 a.m. going, "Hey,
Me
Nat,
too, girl.
what?
My
Are
God.
you crazy?"
I still think it's wild. I did speed dating, and all the women were under 30, right? All of them. And I was 49 or 48 at the time. And so I literally was sitting there going, clearly we're not going to date, but tell me your coming out story or how, I just mummed all of them, right? And a couple of them tried to talk me into it, and I'm not saying that for ego. I find it genuinely fascinating. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you're 23 years old? Why are you interested in someone who could be your mum? And
What?
one of them said to me, because there'll be no drama.
Really, have they met you?
Yeah. Oh, how very dare.
Sorry. I'm going on your stage shows.
I just find it fascinating. I don't mean it judgmentally. I genuinely don't. I just find it fascinating.
Me too. And it's funny because I laugh about it now, but actually I have been talking to a few friends who are very happily dating or shagging or just having a lovely time with people far younger than them and
Yeah.
really allowing them to explore stuff that maybe they didn't explore when they were younger.
Yes.
And someone
Yes.
said to me, why younger men like older women? It's because when older women say, "I don't want a relationship," they mean it.
They mean it exactly. Look, straight dudes, I understand. Helen Thorne and I had this discussion because she would ask the guys as well. She was dating sort of guys in their early 30s, say, when she first got divorced. I think her current, like her boyfriend now, is in his 40s. But anyway, they would basically go, "You don't want children. You don't want to move in with me. You don't want like capital R relationship." And the women their age want that, as they should, and they're entitled to want that. But I can see that. What I don't understand is a 23-year-old woman. But anyway.
Oh, when I see them looking at you and going, "You're amazing, you're gorgeous, you're intelligent, you're talented, and you've built this whole life, so life
Thank you.
goals."
Well, actually, another one. So I said to her, tell me genuinely, don't stroke my ego. I genuinely want to know what's going on, because her and her friends have a MILF chat, right? So they're all early 20s and they're all like older women. I'm like, what is the story? And they're like, you know what you're doing in bed. I thought,
Excellent.
well, you
Yes.
don't know that yes, I do, but you
Yeah,
don't know that I do. It's just, honestly, I could do a whole podcast on that. Maybe we'll do
reputation has preceded you, Nellie. The circle's a grapevine.
it.
Look around.
Let's do a special episode on that. Now, take me to, you found a beau. Are you comfortable talking about it?
I am comfortable talking about it. It's very,
Talk to me,
very
talk to me.
Well, date number five, I met this guy.
Yeah.
I was a little I was still in my wary phase, and I had had two kind of, these two rather problematic experiences. So I was like, well, I'm just going to tread carefully here.
So this is fifth guy you met on the apps. Which app were you on? Do you mind telling me?
I was on Bumble and Hinge. I think I met him on Hinge, but a lot of the same people are on the same
Yeah,
apps, I
they are.
found. Yeah. So it's like whichever user experience you like
Yeah.
better. I quite liked Hinge because you could write things in multiple
Yes.
locations, not just the one profile.
Yeah.
And I'm a bit of a word person, which it
Yeah.
turned out was handy because it turns out my profile pics were appalling, really bad,
Oh, Hillary,
badly
why
framed.
didn't you come to me? Anyway, side
Oh,
note.
I know.
But you match with this lovely man. What drew you? Oh, by the way, I'm just throwing out the running order because this is just too great. What drew you to his profile?
He looked cheeky and
Yeah.
fun.
Yeah.
And I had this like short list of things that I wanted in someone when I had done that process of
Yeah.
looking deep inside myself and going, ugh, what are
Yeah.
my needs and desires? Funny, kind, and smart. It
Yes.
turned out that hot was also on the list, but I had
Yeah.
failed to like put it there. So
Yeah.
that
But
was
your
lucky.
version of hot.
Yeah, he
Yeah.
was cheeky, he was cute, he
Yeah.
was smiling. So if you guys were smiling, profile pics, what is going on?
Number
You
one
say,
tip, smiling photo full face,
yeah.
please.
And they all say, "I want someone who will make me laugh." It's like, are you gonna, how hard is that gonna be? And are you gonna make me laugh? It
Yeah.
doesn't say.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there was that. But also, he used the word shenanigans in his
Love.
profile.
Yeah.
And he mentioned food. and he wanted to smash capitalism. I was like, well, what's
Hey,
not to love?
so you're like, he's got a bit of a rough larrikin edge. He loves food and he's a lefty. I'm in. Or he's at least political. If he's not lefty, he's at least thoughtful and political, and that's funny.
He's thought about it, yeah,
He's thought
and
about it.
yeah. I think the bigger question is why he swiped left when I tried to match with him. Because, as he said, I was really sus on your profile pictures. They really don't do you justice. They're very poorly framed, but you just sounded interesting. The words were interesting. I was like, yes.
Now tell me, did he know who you were?
Not at first, no. But what I thought was really lovely was after our second date.
Yeah.
He messaged me his last name. I was like,
Yeah.
oh, hello, that's weird. And he's like, well, I can easily Google you. I know who you are. So it's fair
Very
that you
good.
have my name. I was like, respectful and fair. That's
Very,
good.
very respectful. And I tell you what, I love, and it shouldn't matter, but we both know that it does. I love that a at least straightish guy recognizes that that's an issue, right? It's a safety issue.
Yeah, totally. I have actually heard him described by his friends since as the gayest straight man they have ever met, which makes
Love the
me very
best.
happy. So he loves cooking. He cooks for people. Nellie, he does domestic labor
Oh,
like it's breathing.
how hot is 50-50
Oh,
or even
God.
60-40?
Yeah, he gets up in the morning sometimes and makes pancakes and lets me sleep.
Oh
So
my God. Does he have children?
he does have children. Yep, he's good with his mum. He was raised by a single mum and an older sister, so I think that's probably helped. But yeah, he's got teen and tween kids, and he's great with them. But my friends have said, you know, he's setting unreasonable standards for other men.
Yeah, I was just going to say,
Oh
do you know how many women are listening now going, "Where did you find him?
well.
This is all made up. How long have you been dating for?"
Not very long, I have to say, but it's one of those things where you just it just feels really, really right. And
Yeah.
oh, I tell you what, you know how some aspects of dating make you feel like a teenager again in a
Yeah,
bad way? You're like, oh, it's all very exciting, but also makes me anxious. This feels like being a teenager, but without the anxiety. So for a long
Oh.
time, what I thought I was feeling in my body was romance was actually anxiety.
Anxiety,
Yeah, that stomach feeling.
yes.
And this is like, I feel calm. But
Oh,
also very attracted to him. I
yeah.
feel happy and yeah,
All right, so
he's
this Hilary Harper, this is the jackpot because you have the combination of it's actually, we overcomplicate it. How does my nervous system feel? Settled.
yes.
What's happening elsewhere? I've got fanny flutters.
Yes.
Ding, ding, ding. That
Yeah,
is
yep,
the
yep.
combo. If there's no fanny flutters, we'll be friends.
Yep.
If your nervous system is pinging, I mean, before the first date, fine. But if it's continually ping, listen to it.
Yeah.
It's trying to tell you something.
Yep. I know it's
How
really sad,
lovely. I
isn't
couldn't
it?
be more delighted for you. So what's the best thing? Like, A, did you ever think you'd find this someone like this?
Well, no. And that's the thing. I had not really ever got to the stage where I've been advising people they should get to of going, work out your own desires and make a picture of that so you know what to look for. He has a list. He had a whole list. He's
What's
like,
on
here are
his
my
list? Can you
must-haves.
share?
And here's, yeah, oh, he showed it to me.
Yeah.
And it was like bubbly personality,
Yeah.
fairly active, atheist,
Yeah.
a bunch of stuff, you know. But there was like the must-haves
Yeah.
and the nice-to-haves. And I thought that was good because he's worked out what works for him and what cannot work for
Because
him
you
and
don't
what can.
want your must-haves to be too long, I'll say.
Yes,
You can
exactly.
actually, that can be a protective thing where you like, and they must go for St. Kilda and they must like, fuck that shit. But
No.
there'll be some things where you go, this is, I know this won't work.
Exactly. Well, and he's not a book nerd. Like he likes books, but he's not an entrenched book nerd like I am. And that I did not, I don't give a shit about that because the humor and the vibe and the connection just feels very
You can
natural and
talk to your friends
right.
about books.
Exactly. I could do lots of stuff with my friends that, you know,
Yeah.
I have to, he cruise on racing yachts, which when he first
Yeah.
told me that, I was like, who are you and what
Yeah.
world do you come from? He doesn't own a yacht, obviously. He just
Yeah.
he goes out on other people's yachts and pulls the ropes and stuff. And at first I was like,
He's
oh.
smashing capitalism from his yacht.
If only that would be amazing. But
Please
it
pass on
was
that to him.
like, well, why? You know, I I was like, well, I've never been on a yacht, so maybe this is a problem, but it's not, I can
Oh,
go
of
off the
course
yacht
it's
if I want
not.
to, but I don't have to.
No,
So,
it's
yeah.
values and it's lifestyle compatibility, I reckon, which doesn't
Exactly.
mean doing the same things. You know
Well,
what's lovely too, I think, and I know I can tell you don't see yourself in this way, but I promise you others do. For people listening, you're a public figure, you're well known, you're very accomplished, you're a good looking rooster, and you're just on Hinge. Right, for people who kind of go, oh, there's some magic to it, there's some science to it. I have to be, circulating in these kinds of environments and da-da. No, Hilary Harper and dare I say Nellie Thomas went on Hinge like everybody else, and you go through the process.
That's true. But people did say, have you thought about how to manage the fact that you're a public figure? And I was
Yeah.
like, no, maybe I should have thought about that a bit more. It didn't really come up. I mean, quite a few guys worked out who I was immediately, just like there's
Yeah.
not that many Hillarys and you can Google my photo.
Yeah.
Though my work photo doesn't have me posed in front of a giant ice cream, so I may
Probably not.
be using. Yep.
Yeah.
And once I realized that my voicemail on my phone had my last name, and so the
Yeah.
guy Googled me and worked it out. But it wasn't, I was, maybe again, I was lucky. I just, it wasn't a problem. I didn't get any stalkers out of it. I can't remember what your question was now that we were actually kind of
Oh,
covering.
we've veered wildly, but I really want to know how, like, if you imagine little Hillary, like, if we go to a few different points, little Hillary, in that first month or two post-divorce, and Hillary now, like, how are you seeing the possibilities of love, romance, relationship, sex?
Well, I feel like all the things we've talked about are true. You need to know yourself. You need to feel like you're ready. You need to put in some effort. Sadly, on the apps, I feel like it's like the gig economy of romance. Like you really got to have an online presence and market yourself and put the time in. It's like an admin job. It's a bit annoying, but there can be rewards. But it's also a bit about luck. Sometimes it's just about who's out there at the time. And so maybe don't give up if you've had a few crappy experiences. Dip in and out because it could be a lovely person there who's just come on or come back. But the other thing, we're talking about what knowing our needs and desires. And for years, I think I loved my husband so much and I wanted it to work so much that I did that sunk cost fallacy thing. It's like we've been trying for so long and we worked so hard at this. We should keep trying, even though it wasn't meeting my needs. He didn't like hugs, and that's fine, but I need them. So when I came out, I was like, I will never find the unicorn of my dreams. I will never find this person who can tick the boxes that I need. I had such small dreams,
Yes,
and it took.
the bar was low.
It was so low. Funny, kind, and smart. My friend was like, "Those are hygiene issues. That is not a person. That's like the basics." I was like, "Okay." But so when I met Gene, I was like, I didn't believe in him. Like it's a process of going, how are you real? The other day, we were shopping for food to have friends of his over for dinner. And on the way to Coles, he just steered me into a nail salon and said, why don't you have a manicure? My
Oh,
treat. Let's go do the
stop.
shopping. I was like, where is the candid camera crew? This cannot be real. But so
Oh,
I
I
just,
can't tell you how much I relate to this, and we can get onto this if you want to when you interview me. But that idea of when you actually do meet someone that feels like that unicorn or feels compatible, and you're like, is this a trick? Like, I don't, what's happening here? Like, actually being open and able to receive that is a whole other conversation.
This is an ongoing process that we negotiate. It's really interesting. But I think, yeah, once I worked out that it was possible to go, what do I want? And it's like, well, it's him. And even if it dies in the ass next week, I found myself thinking, like, I would be totes devo. I'd be just beside myself, but I would know what I wanted and it would be that. So that's really useful.
100%. I love that you just said that, Hillary, because we've had a couple of callers who said something similar, where something would have had to end by circumstance, like maybe it's a holiday romance or something like that, What it does do, though, especially at this age, especially if you've been brokenhearted or, you're battered a bit, it shows you it's possible, right? It's worth the risk even just for that.
Yeah.
You will recover from the heartbreak. You've done it before. It's painful. It's hard. It can ha I'm not talking about you. Hopefully this won't end. But I mean, for those who are worried, what if I get brokenhearted? You might. We all might. But now you know it's possible and you know you've set that bar higher. That's a win.
Yep. Well, and also, I had got to that place where I was like, my life is pretty great. Like, I'm so grateful to have this house and that pile of books is not going to read itself. Like, I've got lots of things I can do with my life. There's so many shows I want to see and things I want to do that I never get time to do because now I'm hanging out with this guy all the time. But, I had options, and that was a really nice perspective to have, I think. But yeah, I think I had not, I heard Hamish McDonald, the broadcaster at the ABC, talking about how he'd met his partner and they're married now. And he said like something like, I just didn't know it was possible to have this kind of love in my life.
Correct.
Because he's gay and he had not had great experiences
How
with
stunning.
relationships. And I was like, that's what's happened. I have finally come to understand that like maybe it is rare, I don't know, but it's so lovely when you go, here's someone who we can be kind to each other for the rest of our lives if we're lucky.
Do you know what kept popping into my head? Like this is over my dating journey, and it's in that vein of kind of go, oh, that's not for me. Other people get that, like, and not even direct, sometimes consciously, but mostly unconsciously. And you can be asking for not enough, because of that. Because like Hamish saying, well, I don't know. That's you did. You got your face pressed up against the glass. And if you have the joy of experiencing that for however long, you realize, oh, that is something for me too.
Well, Gina and I have this conversation fairly frequently about, what people deserve because we've talked about some of our past relationships and we both had to deal with some quite big things. Like sometime in the past, I had a relationship that I look back now and I think that was actually quite controlling, And at the end, there was some violence, and that was quite a formative experience for me, and it kind of intellectually made me go, well, I won't be putting up with that again. But emotionally, it kind of tamps you down a little bit, and it makes it
Indeed.
harder to dream big. And we go, well, we both deserve some nice things in our life. And it's like, yeah, but everyone does, don't they? And not everyone gets it. That's the thing. It's not always fair,
No.
but you do deserve it. I think that's the
100%
thing
you
to remember.
deserve it. And I think it's worth at least being conscious of, am I looking for, which I've certainly done, and it sounds like you have from difficult experiences, am I looking for safety? Because safety is very different. Yes, your relationship should feel safe, but that's also not enough, right? Safety is the baseline. What you're actually looking for, you will have to put your own words there, whether it be fun, sex, love, romance, whatever it is, you'll have your own things and everyone's got a different list. But I don't think safety is enough. You can be safe on your own, or with your friends or family. How lovely. Isn't this gorgeous? Look at your little face. You can't stop smiling.
Well, the first time I came into work after we had got together after our third date, everyone was like, "Who? You're glowing." It's like, "It's like
Did
it
you
was
tell
such."
them?
I did. Yeah, they were heavily invested in my love
Yeah,
life.
I
I have this
bet.
beautiful production team, and
I
because we've
bet.
been making the series, they were like, "How's it going? How did this weekend go? What happened?" It's like, But can I tell you the most adorable thing? Like
Please.
after our third date. Which was my birthday, and he had brought a little candle to stick in our dessert, and it was adorable. And we had this kiss, and then we had
Jane,
to
stop
wait.
it.
I know. We had this beautiful little pash, and then my tram came, and I had to go home and continue working and do kid stuff. It's like, okay, fine, this happens. And then I get this message, oh no, I've got COVID. It's like, you what? How can this be happening? 2023, what are you doing?
Oh, dude.
I know. It's like, so we'd been apart for 10 days, 2 weeks because of the Bali thing. Then there's this pash and then there's COVID. It's like, I cannot be dealing with this. So 5 days later, I get this message saying, oh, are you going to be home? I'm going to send a delivery around. It's like, oh, that's lovely. I wonder what's happening. And the delivery time comes, and this bag appears on my doorstep with six gluten-free donuts that he has made with little
Stop.
fillings with little labels on them on toothpicks. And he has brought them, but he's keeping his distance out the front, and he's brought a negative rat in a baggie, and he's wearing an N95 mask. I was like, I am gone.
Gone.
You are
I'm gone and I've never met
respecting
Jane.
the boundaries. I know. And I was like, get the mask off, get in here.
Yeah, get in here. We'll risk it. Risk it for the
Yes,
biscuit.
I am not letting this
You
go.
know what? Again, why do we overcomplicate it? It's fucking effort. You know, all the memes that we see on the, Instagram and Facebook and TikTok, wherever. Oh, how will I know? I mean, Whitney Houston, how will I know? You know what? If they're doing that, you'll just know. You
And there's
won't be
none of that.
thinking, is he, isn't he?
Exactly. You won't be like chasing them. What are you thinking? Are you upset or what's happening? It's just like communicating responsiveness. And who was it that said love is paying attention? It's like you're paying attention to each other. You notice this stuff and you can care for each other.
Noticing. Oh, God. All right. I want to make sure we squeeze in No Shade on My Ex and They're a 10 Baht, and then I will hand the reins over to you. So you can choose whatever ex you want. Stupid as shit an ex has done.
Well, once sometime in the mid-90s, I was going out with this guy he's very lovely now, but at the time he was very scatty and messy. And we ended up drunk and in bed with another friend of mine and all kind of messily pashing and then falling asleep. And they were quite excited about this kind of failed threesome. And I was like, oh, I don't know, this is a bit weird. And I'm quite drunk and I'd really rather go to sleep. So that was abortive, and then we broke up quite soon after that. A few weeks later, I dropped round to visit the friend, and she's not in her living room. Her housemate's like, "Oh, I think she's up in her bedroom." I'm like, I'll go up and see her. So
Oh,
I
God.
jump up the stairs, and
No.
there's hurried, muffled, "Wait, just wait. Oh, just be just a minute."
Oh,
So
God.
when she opens the door, there's nothing. I'm like, well, that was a bit weird. I wonder what has happened. And later I found out that he has climbed out the first floor window and shinnied down the veranda to avoid meeting me. It's like, dude, I don't care. We
Like
broke up.
your mum's come to visit.
Exactly. It's like you can do whatever you want now, but fine.
Oh,
Okay.
see, this is the thing, Hillary. Like, while I genuinely can see, I know people in E&M relationships that work really well for them, and they're really good communicators and they're emotionally intelligent and it all works. My vision, I think I get taken back to uni days to that sort of shit. I'm just like, I can't even keep up with one person, like, let alone someone scaling out the window and down the drain pipe, and then, like, it's a lot.
Well, and I feel like also relationships should be a bit of a balance between romance and feelings and, I don't know, not being a stress. And if you have to get a spreadsheet out to work out whose night it is, it's a bit like that that series, Big Love, about the Mormon the marriage setup, having more than one wife. Can't even remember what the name is for it now.
I
I'm like,
know the one you meant. I'll put it in the show notes, but note also that the women don't have multiple husbands. That
exactly. Yeah,
also
very
always has given me
one-sided.
the shits. I
Yeah,
remember
but the
seeing one of
politics.
the husbands interviewed, and that proposition being put to him, and I can't tell you the disgust on his face. So, I mean, we can do a whole bloody gender studies critique on that.
Yeah, let's do that one day.
A 10 baht. So, can you think, like, name other than Jean, if you could pick someone that you're on a date with, like, what's your genre? Can we get a celebrity vibe?
That's it. Oh, like if I'm on a date with Chris Hemsworth or
Say,
something.
Chris Hemsworth, would that be your jam?
I have basic tastes in muscle, so yes.
Would he be bright enough? I don't even answer
I
that.
don't
All
know.
right.
Let's find out.
Let's find out. You're on a date with Chris Hemsworth. Everything's going great. You think we're gonna have a pash at the end of this. This is lovely. He's really funny. He's smarter than I thought. Nellie's making too many assumptions. And then he does something and you're like, I'm out. What is your deal breaker?
Well, I was going to say smoking because it is horrible. I hate it.
Yeah.
But I actually remembered one of the guys that I dated, who is called Van Man in the
Like
podcast.
panel van.
Well, it wasn't quite a panel. He kitted out a van to live in and travel in. So
Yeah.
this was where he was living at
Oh,
the time.
that guy's smoking.
Well, yeah, smoking bad, but also I said something like, "Oh, sorry, polyamory is not for me. I have
Yeah.
realized that I'm monogamous." He's like, "Oh, that could work. A monogamous person could still date a polyamorous person and just be monogamous with them." And I'm like, "No, that's not how monogamy works." And I've just said to you, "No." And I'm like, "Frankly,
Yes.
I do not see a relationship in our future." He's like, "You can't tell from one date." I'm like, "Mate,
Yeah, I can.
yes, I can." So
Oh,
that
hang
kind of
on. So
pushed
you're
back on my
telling
emotions.
me, I mean, come on, you're mansplaining polyamory wrong for a
Yeah.
start, and now you're telling me that I can't like make my own decision about whether to see you again.
Yeah.
Oh, off you fuck.
Yeah. I mean, that's not even a deal breaker. That's a kind of
I'm running.
relationship hygiene issue. Yeah, that's
Oh,
really bad.
100%. But again, I think it's, I'm just thinking of the, amorphous person listening who may have been in a long-term thing, who's dating again. It is very easy to be tricked, frankly, by someone like that of any gender who goes, this is how it is now. This is what we're doing now. Everyone's doing this now. And to be made to feel like you're either prudish or old-fashioned or any of the things. No, you listen, do what Hillary did. You listen, this
Another
is
one.
not what I'm into. You can, you whatever your jam's your jam. No worries, but I'm out.
Yeah, well, I think I said to him, I've tried it and it's not for me. Like,
Yeah.
it's not like I'm coming from a position of complete ignorance. Like, yeah.
God, I hate that, Hillary. And people make that assumption. I had a similar thing. I won't say what it was, but it was a particular, shall we say, sexual act, that was being discussed in a group kind of setting, like a just a dinner party kind of vibe. And someone saying to me, but you've got it. You haven't tried it. You haven't tried it. You've got it. You've got it. I'm like, I haven't just walked in off the corn farm, right? It's not that I've never considered it. It's not that it's not, I don't think I'm particularly prudish. I'm not interested in it.
Yep.
And at that point, the no should be a no. Are we 15?
Yeah, exactly. There's
Like,
a
I
lot of
felt
things
like I
I
was
haven't
back at
tried.
high school with someone kind of, you should be. No, there's no shoulds. I, yes, consider everything.
Yep.
But then you make a decision.
Yeah, I know. Imagine telling our kids you have to try something
Oh,
before you can say, no, you don't want to do that. I mean,
you
that's not how you would
absolutely do not. And
conduct
for
a.
people listening again, if you particularly, and I know that there's listeners who haven't had sex for a bloody long time and they're really vulnerable, I think. To a manipulative partner, kind of, but everyone's doing that now.
Yep.
No, you don't have to do anything everyone's doing.
Yeah.
No's no. Move on. They push you, you leave.
Yeah, this is where the consent education is coming to the fore,
Correct.
Nelly. I like it.
Correct,
Yeah.
right?
Producer Sammy here. This is a special extended chat, and we're going to leave it right there. To hear the full conversation where Hillary and Nelly continue to chat more, and Hillary asks Nelly some pretty intense questions about love, life, and everything in between. Sign up to Patreon or Acast Plus for $5 a month. You can find links in the show notes or go to nellythomas.com and follow the Patreon link.
Dear Nelly, I could use some advice, dear Nelly. Yeah, some help would be nice, dear Nelly. I'm eager to hear your point of view, dear Nelly. There's a lot to explore, dear Nelly. When you're 40 or more, dear Nelly. So I'm hoping we can talk it through. Fabulous guest, dear Nelly. Won't you tell me what you think? I
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to Dear Nelly. Now, don't be shy. I would love to hear your questions and comments. To send me a recording or an email, go to nellythomas.com and follow the links. It's super easy, and you might hear me talk about your question in a future episode. Huge thanks to producer Sam Peterson from the Producer Boy Creative Production team, and to producer Faye Younger, who in addition to being an excellent human, is also a brilliant real estate buyer's advocate and can be found at youngerhill.com. Thanks to Acast and all the team. And lastly, to you. Without the listeners, I'm just a middle-aged mole talking shit to no one. Please rate, review, and consider subscribing for $5 a month for a bonus episode and to help me keep the lights on. And tell your bloody mates, would you? I'd really appreciate it. Love yous.